this series that we're in is called Beyond. And last week, we covered beyond, like, and it pretty much comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which says, to him who can do exceedingly, abundantly more, beyond whatever you could imagine, ask for or imagine, right? Now, that's what he says. That's what's in place. But the scripture doesn't end there. It says, according to the power that worketh within you. So to experience what he can do that exceeds, that's exceedingly abundantly more, I do have a partnership with that. And that is to make sure the power that's working within me continues to work within me. That it continues, my capacity for God to flow through me continues to expand. So the way we got into it last week was getting our thinking correct. So we talked about how important our thinking is. So Pastor Tyler talked about Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, then you will experience, then you will see, then you will recognize God's perfect will for your life. And his will for your life, his plan for it, is beyond anything you can ever imagine. Okay? Now, to experience his great life, you cannot be conformed to this world. As it says in John chapter 10, Jesus said, he says, I come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. But you can't have an abundant life without abundant thoughts. You can't have an abundant life with a scarcity mindset. They're incongruent. What we want to do is we want to experience God's best.
Well, yeah, we do.
But we want to do it our way. The method we use to experience everything God has needs to be his way. So what we're going to do today is we're going to keep building on that. Now I want to emphasize something to you. When the scripture says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the, that means we got to change the way that we think. No longer can the world govern my thinking. My destiny has to govern my thinking. No longer can the world govern my thinking. The identity God says I have needs to govern my identity. That dynamic has to take place. Now, I never want to, I'm not a fan of preaching you something that doesn't work in crunch time. You all know that. If the fundamentals don't work in crunch time, I don't need them. Okay? I want to know, does this stuff work in real life? So last week, Pastor Tyler gave us some good stuff. If you haven't seen it, watch it. This week, let me say it this way. Last week, I would like to title that, if I were to title a message, I would call it, Fix Your Mind. That's how I would describe it. Fix your mind, as the scripture says in Philippians 4, fix your thoughts. Fix your mind. Think on these things, right? So if I was going to have a title for this week's message, and I got to say it like I mean it, it's fix your mouth.
There you go.
Now, I have to say it the way like grandma would say it, my aunties would say it. You know, usually they say that when you said something inappropriate, not quite right. Boy, you better fix your mouth. Not fix your mouth. Some of you might have heard, fix your mouth. That's not how we heard it. So you got to remove the U and the R for impact. It has to be fix your mouth, right? And if you really want to make it strong, throw off the TH. Fix your mouth.
There you go.
Just for emphasis, okay? Now, the reason I'm saying fix your mouth in terms of the title, because last week we were talking about your thinking. Today we're talking about your words. To live beyond. To experience. We have to get this thing in order. In the book of James, it talks about it's one of the most complicated, most difficult things to control. It can heal, but it can create a whole lot of fires. It can heal, but it can destroy. It can heal, but it can kill. This thing right here. So we're going to go into using our words. So now, if you are, let me change that. Please take notes. Okay, I'm not even going to ask you to. Like, just, please take notes. Okay. And the reason why I want you to take notes, either take notes now or watch the YouTube when it comes up and then watch it again and then take notes. The reason is I don't necessarily want you to write down what you hear me say as much as what does the Holy Spirit bring to your heart when something's said. You don't want to miss moments. We don't capture moments. You know, there's an eternity in a moment. The Lord will give you a whisper. He'll give you a word. He'll give you a moment that could be the very thing that can change your circumstance. But I just didn't feel like pulling out a pen, and I didn't feel like writing something down. Ugh. I will tell you right now, a short pencil is better than a long memory. Okay? So get in the habit of capturing things that add value to you, okay? Does that make some sense? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 19, verse 14, okay? So Psalms chapter 19, verses 14. And this is David speaking here. And, oh, good, they got it up there. So it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Now, this is David speaking to God. He says, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Now, I want you to hear this today's message. This is a training message. This isn't a trying message. I don't want you to walk out of here going, I'm going to try to get my mouth in order. I'm going to try to get, the word try already presupposes failure. You've already set yourself up. I'm going to try it. If it don't work, at least I tried. That's not the goal. It's training that changes us. So this is a message that trains us. Another word for training is discipline. The Lord is telling us we must discipline our mouths. And the way that David describes that, he says, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. So the question we got to ask is, what's pleasing to God? Now, the reason this is critical when we talk about God, then we start here, is because I don't know about some of you, I've struggled with at times of my life being a people pleaser. So what usually would come out of my mouth, now some people err on the other side, you know, somebody, but it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, my goal was what I said to people, it was always important to me that they were pleased by it. And if we're not careful, we would see in a scripture like this, and it would mean that I am to say things that only make people feel good, that only pleases people, or makes, that's not what the scripture's saying. What it's saying is that the one who you need to make sure you are pleasing first is God. That's right. So ask yourself the question, are the words that come out of my mouth pleasing to the Lord? Are they pleasing to the Lord? What's pleasing to God? At first, I read this, I was like, okay, Lord, when I'm just positive, when, you know, no, just make it a little deeper. When you describe situations you got going on right now, in the way that you describe it, how you talk, are your words pleasing to God? When you think about your past, are your words pleasing when you describe it? Or do you use words like, if only, if I would have? Are you still living in your past? Are you still impacted by your past? Or are the words that you use pleasing to God? Because if your words were pleasing to God, you see what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the question is, the words that come out of your mouth, are they in the direction of faith? Or do they move in the direction of fear? I'm not even asking about the specific word. I'm talking about the intent. I'm talking about the feeling of it. Which direction do you lean? Are the words that come out of my mouth leaning towards faith, or do they lean towards fear? Do I have a tendency when I'm describing what I'm going through or what I'm dealing with, do they line up more with what the word says, or do they line up more with what circumstances are saying? Now, this is an individual question. This isn't, this. So if you're sitting in here right now and you thought, you know, this is about, oh yeah, I'm glad he's talking about this because so-and-so needs to talk to me better. I want to make this point perfectly clear. The one person who you need to use better words with is yourself. How do you talk to you? How many of you would allow someone else to talk to you the way you talk to you? More importantly, who told you that you belong to you? Who gave you the right to talk to you that way? If you said yes to Jesus, do you realize you were bought with a price? How in the world do you look at yourself and say what you're not and what you're not capable of? Now, do you think Jesus died for junk? No. He died for you. He said, you are wonderfully and fearfully made. Who were you? I don't care if you dealt with a whole lot of people who didn't see your value. He is the one who created it. So when he tells you who you are, you need to line up your words with how he describes you. The question isn't, is this pleasing? The question, is it pleasing to God? When I talk about me, are my words pleasing? I can't tell you how often I use words like, I can't. I promise you that's not pleasing to God. Especially when he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. This is too big. It's too great of a task. How do I dare say that when greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? The problem isn't that I don't have a word. The problem is I don't have a word in me. I don't have the word in me. Therefore, the words that I'm using are far more tied to what I've been conformed to, even though in Romans 12 it says, do not be conformed. I've allowed my confirmation, or however I've been conformed, the conditioning process, to generate my conversations far more than who God said I am. Let me make this very practical. In 2019, this is what's going to be a change for all of us. In 2018, far too often, we are having seasons, experiences, or almost a lifestyle of doubt, occasionally interrupted by faith. Living the whole week in doubt, and then get to Sunday and like, whoo, interrupt my week of doubt with some faith. We're going to flip that. We're going to live a lifestyle of faith.
Yeah, we are.
And have occasional moments of doubt. That's the new normal. And not only is our thinking going to be in alignment with that, our words are as well. So whatever circumstance or situation you are dealing with right now, even in your description of it, as you look at yourself, ask yourself the question, are the words that I'm using pleasing to the Lord? That is the new standard. Now, one person said, man, if the only words I can use are the ones pleasing God, that feels real limiting. That feels like a self-imposed limitation. Man, that's a self-imposed standard. That ain't a limitation. Brother, you just raised the bar to a new level. Remember, your goal is to live beyond. The words that are coming out of your mouth right now are consistent with what you're in right now. If you want what you're in to change, you might want to start elevating your words to help you get beyond where you're trying to go. Because right now, the words that are driving you are not what's beyond. The words that are driving you are what's behind. And Paul said it best in Philippians. He says, I press towards the mark, forgetting those things that are behind. That means even in my conversation, I need to talk in the direction I want to go, not in the direction of where I've been. Far too often in our own self-talk, we dwell upon what we don't want to have happen. We talk about what we don't want to have happen. The number of times I had to check myself and go, I can completely explain things that are bad. But then after I finish, the question is, okay, but what does better look like? And I realize I have spent no time on that part. I've spent the majority of my conversation talking about what's broken. And there's nowhere in Scripture that tells me I need to do that. So this is why we have to answer the first question is, are my words pleasing to the Lord? The other question one way to ask, if you pull that up, is what are my words revealing? What are my words revealing? So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. If you have that, verse 45 reads this. It says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. You need to understand that. The production of good things are the result of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart, which means what you see on the outside is a result of what's taking place on the inside. So the next one says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Another way to say, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So sometimes you know, what does my words reveal about me? Now, there's a couple of things I like to encourage people to do. Sometimes if you really want to know what's on the inside of you, just listen to how you respond or react to stuff. I'm not talking about when you complain on it. I'm talking about when stuff catches you off guard. So you got to realize, my mom, my little sweetie over there, my mama loves her some Jesus. And Jesus is like deep in my mom, right? All right, so her and the Holy Spirit have a real tight connection. You know how I know? It's just how she reacts to stuff when it happens. My mom bumps her leg, Lord have mercy. Somebody does something, oh Jesus, I just pray for him. See, what's on the inside of you, when pressure's applied, comes out. See, many times when I lose it, I'm like, I wouldn't have lost it if you wouldn't have done that. Actually, I wouldn't have lost it if losing it wasn't in me. Losing it was already in me. Just a circumstance showed up to make it possible. Okay? I'll never forget, now, you guys, you know how it works. You know, something happened to me and, you know, you guys pray for me. God is not done with me yet. But all of a sudden something happens to me, I get bumped or somebody does something disrespectful. I'm like, man, what the? And you know how it works. It always happens and somebody around is like, hey, is that Pastor Eric over there? I got work to do, okay? I'm not the only one. He who started a good work in you will see it to completion. But what happens is moments reveal. Pressure reveals. And so what we want to do is ask the question, what are my words revealing? And so once I become aware when they're off, now I've been equipped with what I need to course correct. Because the Bible's full of answers for every single area that I may lack in. Now, to give you one other thing about our words, and this is a practical one as believers, that is complaining. If there's anything you want to fast from, it's complaining. Okay? Complaining is simply maintaining what currently exists. Where your focus goes, so does your energy. And what we end up doing is we complain about situations, not realizing that we've never been called to complain a situation with our words, the power of the words in our mouth, we are not meant to just describe situations. The power in our mouth is that we can change situations with the words in our mouth. But what we typically do is I complain, and you know how it works. I rarely complain to somebody who can do something about it. You know how we are. Now, that'd be a better idea, right? But that's never the case. Because usually when I complain to the wrong person, I'll tell you how it works. So I got one brother I complain to, and I was like, he's the wrong one I can go to. Because every time I go to him, he finishes my conversation with, all right, I hear you, but what you gonna do about it? I was like, I did not come for that. I just came to vent. I just need you to make me feel better by hearing all my stuff.
There you go.
And he comes back to me with the word every single time. Man, this is just difficult. Man, count it all joy. I'm like, I did not ask for that right now. But instead of complaining, and keep in mind, when I say stop complaining, it doesn't mean I don't detail or describe a circumstance or situation. It just means I don't stop there. It just means I don't stop there. The goal is, this is what's going on. But a variable in making this better is I'm going to speak words of faith.
Oh, yeah.
and inject that variable into the equation, which is then going to get a different outcome. And that is exactly what the word says. I have yet to find a scripture that says we're victims. I have yet to find a scripture that says, hey, it's okay when things are bad, just whine and cry really hard about it and never have to, and everything will be okay. Now, I'm not trying to stomp down or play down anybody's emotions or feelings or what you're going through, but I promise you, whatever you're going through, no matter how dire, you are not the first one who's gone through this since this Bible's been made. And the Lord is not avoiding you. He's there with you. He's the ever-present help in time of trouble. Nothing that is happening to you, he is not aware of. He wants you to align your thinking and your words with the fact that he got you. You are not alone. Stand on that promise and watch what happens. You're worried about the circumstance changing. He'll change you and you'll turn around and realize this circumstance doesn't have the same impact on me like it was having before. Now, there's another question that I have for you that I want you to lock on to. So what are my words revealing? The last one is, what are my words accomplishing? So if you open up your Bible to Proverbs 18, verse 21. So what are my words accomplishing? Now, we're all familiar. We're going to read this together. So can we read this together? Here we go. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I'm going to ask you to read it out loud again with me. Here we go. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You are walking around with power in your mouth. You can either help things live or die. That is a fact. You are either speaking life or speaking death. Intentions is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about impact. I'm talking about impact. There are things that I have killed and my intentions weren't to kill it, but the impact of my words still killed it. And the goal is to make sure my impact and my intentions start leveling off, start getting connected closer together. When people say, man, there's no, man, you know, what's the nursery rhyme, which is the biggest lie of all time? Sticking stones may hurt, break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Biggest lie I ever heard, ever. I was in enough fights when I was young. I don't remember. I mean, I kind of remember which ones I won and lost, but I recovered from those. There's still things that was said to me 30 years ago that if I spend too much time dwelling on, it still hurts. It still cuts. And that was a word. And sometimes that word came from somebody who didn't even realize, or more importantly, ain't even thinking about me no more. So the power of life and death truly are in the tongue. So the question is, how are you using your words? Now, I got these examples of a couple bricks right here, two bricks in my hand. Now, we all know the purpose of a brick. Brick can be built, you know, it can build things, hospitals, schools, churches. Its intent, it was made for the purpose of shelter. This brick is designed for the purpose of creating strength, foundational. Now, that's its purpose. But I can also walk by you and hit you upside the head. Now, all of a sudden, this purpose of life just got shifted to death based on the skill level of who's using the bricks. Now, what you got to realize is that's not what the bricks were made for. But that's still what happens. There's some of us in this room know the pain of words. Words can kill. Words can heal. Words can lead. Words can also impede. Words have a tremendous amount of impact. The question is, how do you use your words? What are your words accomplishing? Now, I share this because this is practical. We sit around and we think, okay, you know, what are my words accomplished? How do I describe my future? How do I talk about my destiny? How do I talk about what's in front? Do I line my words up with what I want to see take place in my life? Do an assessment. Ask yourself. There's some fathers in here right now. I'm telling you, the culture of your house is going to change when your mouth does.
That's right.
It's a fact. That's a fact. There's some women in here right there. That dream, that ambition, that goal, yeah. When you start shifting your words to match who God says you are, wait till you find out what starts showing up in your life. What words are you? If the power of life and death is in the tongue, why wouldn't you use that power? What are you saving it for? Just talk about, I ran into one person. I didn't even tell my daughter this one time. You know, my young man, it's going to be one of those days. Why? Why would you prophesy that? Today's going to be a terrible day. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Who told you? Now, sometimes we got to break it down to that level, y'all. We got to realize, no, this is going to be a terrible day. Why? Because the word says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. So what's the problem? Say that, speak that. Well, I don't feel that. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Feelings follow, they don't lead. When the word gets in you this way, do you see? You get to decide. When the Bible says at the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. Okay, here's what it was so powerful about it. The word was made flesh. We're talking about Jesus himself. In Genesis, God said, let there be light, and then things showed up. That simply means, according to the word, we are made in the image and the likeness of God. God said that means we are to function like him. That means everything that comes out of your mouth should be in the direction you want to see your life go. Everything that comes out of your mouth should be in the direction of the destiny that God has for your life. To spend time talking about anything else, it's pointless. Last scripture, and this is just to encourage you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. That also includes the words that you use on you. One of our greatest challenges for many of us, how we talk to ourselves has a lot to do with how others have talked to us. And we've just made it our own. But here's where I want you to understand. When you begin to make the word of God your words, when Jesus says that out of the heart the mouth speaks, then how do I get this word in my heart? Psalms 119 says it so good when it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, don't let me wander away from your commandments. Hide your word in my heart, Lord, so I will not sin against you. Because when the word gets down deep, now when you shake me up, guess what comes out of my mouth? The word. It's not that I have problems. It's that every time a problem shakes me up, and it's not the word in me that comes out, it's the world in me that comes out, the problem just gets worse. Instead of solving the problem, I bring lighter fluid to the problem. I bring gasoline. I just make it worse. So I ask you today, decide that I'm not only lining up my thoughts, but I want to line up my words with the truth of his word. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to wake up every morning and tell the day what it's going to be like, instead of sit back and hope that it's just going to take place on its own. Not when we have this level of authority. Here's what I want to leave you with, church, as a challenge. I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to come up. When you get disciplined with how you talk to you, when you no longer say it's okay that I call my own self out of my own name, when it's no longer acceptable for you to talk to you in a way that doesn't fit. Guess what else happens? All of a sudden, others will stop talking to you that way as well. As my grandma would say, you train people how to treat you. But you also got to train yourself how to treat you. And that's based on what the Word of God says. So meditate on it. Make it your own and watch the words of the kingdom come out of your mouth. Come on, church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to thank you right now. We want to thank you for this word. It's practical. It's challenging. But it's where our victory lies. Father, I'm going to ask you to do something significant in each one of our lives. Many of us have been impacted by the words of others, and it cut, it hurt. But not only are we asking you to heal those cuts and wounds that are in us, I'm asking you, Lord, to do one step even further. Anybody that we have cut or hurt with our words, and right now, Holy Spirit, you may be bringing that person to mind. Lord God, give us the courage and the confidence to go repent, to go ask for forgiveness. Lord God, to watch you collapse time, to watch you restore not only relationships, but restore our own sense of identity when we go back and make right, because we know the power of these words. So, Father, we ask, let this be so. Let the confidence that we need flow from this truth. Father, we love you and we thank you. Let the church say together, amen.